It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Welcome to the Hotel Hell. Check-in time is now, check-out time is never.
It's Mike Shope.
Does my room have cable?
No. And the sheets are made of fire.
Can I change rooms?
Sorry, we're all booked up. Hell convention in town.
And the Bulldog.
Can I have a late checkout?
I'll have to talk to the manager.
You're not the manager, even in your own fantasy?
I'm the owner. The co-owner. With Satan.
It's Mike Shope.
Okay. Just so I understand it, in your wildest fantasy, you are in hell. And you are co-running a bed and breakfast with the devil.
And the Bulldog.
Yeah, but I haven't told you my salary yet.
Go.
$80,000 a year.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
So yesterday you said you were immersed in World Cup?
Correct.
A whole lazy day of watching games? So you didn't listen to us at all?
I did not. I saw, you know, we're on YouTube now.
Or
so
watch, then.
I saw a couple of clips. But I didn't even watch them. I mean, I just Mike Shope says da 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 da. So I know, like, why are the Sabres being disrespected? Or something to that effect.
That's what I was going to bring up.
I know I saw that, and then I saw a clip of you talking to Tyler about Josh Allen. But anyway, the Sabres thing. I took a screenshot the last time I even looked. I'm assuming you looked yesterday, thus the conversation. They're like in the middle of the pack before the cup was won. I haven't looked since the cup was won.
13th.
I doubt it's changed. Yeah. Okay. I saw them around there, like in the mid teens. And I was kind of surprised by that.
Well, I am definitely surprised, but I'm not yet not blaming myself.
Okay.
I'm not sure if I'm right to be
I understand.
Miffed by it. That Anaheim in New Jersey had shorter Stanley Cup winning odds than the Sabres, I didn't quite get. And that Ottawa did by a lot.
Right.
What's Ottawa?
That's the one.
What have they done?
Like Anaheim, the strength of the conference, like, you know, like Colorado's there, but maybe this is a way of looking at the West and going, everybody else is pretty much equal, except for Colorado. So, you know, that might drive up a team like Anaheim's champ, but New Jersey in the East, in a stacked East, in Ottawa, I'm not sure I can really rectify that.
The Sabres were fifth in their own division in the odds.
Right.
By a distance.
After winning the division.
Yeah.
Last year. I mean, I know everyone expects Alex Tuch to leave at this point, but could that really be why? That can't be why. It's got to be more. I'm not saying it's no factor. Maybe it's that coupled with, let's see if you can do this for another year in a row. Like, nice story. It wasn't just a hot month. You know, they were hot from December through, you know, into May, for crying out loud. So that should prove something, but I don't know. I'm trying to think of, like, how skeptical I would be if I were out of the market, you know, and had, you know, been impressed, but still, it's only half a season. I don't know. Do you really, you know, can you really be counted on with Florida bouncing back with, you know, whatever, with the stacked division? I still think it's a slap. I feel slapped. So, and I'm not sure if I'm right either. Cause maybe some skepticism is warranted.
Maybe. There's always the franchise history piece, or even if it's not exactly about Tuck the player, it might be more just the history of the Sabres is guys leave. So one way or another, but I don't know. It bugs me. Because really, half a season, call it a full season, all 82 games they finished first, you know, whatever the order was, they did that. They won their first round series, not in a sweep, but they were the better team in that series and deserved to win. And then the second round comes down to one goal. If they win game seven, if the Malenstein goal counts, is it different? I don't know. What I sat here yesterday trying to figure it out loud. Like, just what what is it that they don't have that looks right? What looks wrong about them for them to be 28-1 when Ottawa is 16-1 and when Anaheim and New Jersey are 25-1? What's the problem? What's the gap here about? And I wondered if this doesn't have to be it. But like I said yesterday, I wonder if like they need a star that they don't have. Like a star. That would probably matter to the betting markets and expectations if they somehow added, I don't even like Robert Thomas. I mean, not guys that just like hockey fans know, but somebody that even transcends that. Stamkos. McDavid, somehow. I mean, just do they need that? Obviously, the goal of the organization is not to be like first in the odds.
Right.
The Bills are the champions of that.
Right.
And what's that been? I mean, that's been great, but there's no banner. That's not the goal of the organization. They're not going to try to do something this offseason that gets them up that list. But there's something about them. I think you can take these odds seriously enough to ask that question. What is it that the outside world thinks they're missing? To whatever extent they're thinking about it, this is something that if people are actually betting on it and people who are making these odds, they would be thinking about it. It wouldn't just be at random.
Well, I mean, I have a hard time believing that what happened to the Sabres 19 years ago, the last time the league saw the Sabres, I think as the level of contender they just were this past season, is then. I mean, I know they won the division in 2010, but I certainly do not remember what the odds were, because gambling was illegal then.
The dark ages.
But we know what happened after that. I mean, they won the President's Trophy. They had the best season, in the league, and then the co-captains left. So, like, is there a gambling correlation? Are they correlating? Well, an alternate captain is about to be a free agent. Mm. He may leave, and they'll never recover? Or something like, I can't believe 20 years ago matters.
No, me neither.
Right? So I just wanted to talk it out just so I could dismiss it. Because I think it deserves to be dismissed. I do not think that that's it. Like, you know, you mentioned the reputation of the franchise. You know, we all know that. I don't think the people setting the odds are thinking, you know, they traded Lindy Ruff away after he was their captain. Like, I just... No. So...
Like, is Ottawa in a better position, actually, than the Sabres are? Does that make sense?
No, it really doesn't. It really doesn't, because they don't have. I mean, they've got a goalie who's won hardware in Ullmark. They have that, but you know, I don't know, what did that afford them any advantage this year? I mean, they got swept. They played against the team that won the cup too. So, I mean, work that in there. No, that's the thing about it. Like if Buffalo and Ottawa and even Montreal to an extent, Montreal won one more series than I did. If they were all sort of in the same, you know, area, I would understand it because they're all pretty, I mean, Ottawa's been in the playoffs now 2 years in a row. So I guess that gives them some leg up, at least as far as believing they can make the pool of teams in the playoffs again, because they've done it. They demonstrated they could do it 2 years in a row. The Sabres have not had the opportunity to do that yet. I wonder how much of it is just that, just skepticism that congratulations on everything going right for you, and now go do it again. And we're not ready to believe that you just will. I don't know. I don't know what else to make of it. But it's been odd to me the minute I saw it. I'm not usually you prompt me to go, hey, have you seen these? But I looked at some point after they got knocked out. I looked. I'm like, how in the world are they in the middle? I don't see this team as a team that should be in the middle of that. I don't think they should be the top favorite or anything. But lagging behind Ottawa that much is weird.
Well, I guess this all adds up to that you should bet it.
Right, of course. Right.
If we're right.
It always ends there.
And, you know, they won't win the Stanley Cup and we'll lose. But I that's normal. Objectively, that's what I would be thinking here is, you know, who's good value. But you can get twisted up. Like, why wouldn't, again, a division winner with that, like, that result, playoffs included, get more respect than this? I mean, Alex Tuch is fine, but I can't believe he would be meaningful to this, really. You can, and this is with or without making it about the odds. I mean, just in our conversations about this, you can like the Sabres just as much for who they have coming than what they would be losing in him. Mm-hmm. You could think that it's a net positive.
You could. Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily agree out of hand, but yeah, you could. Sure.
Anaheim.
I don't know. I don't know what to really make of it.
What's Anaheim?
Anaheim is there's nice young pieces there. San Jose's got more of them, but I think both of those teams are coming, but I don't see them as better bets than the Sabres.
Ottawa 16-1, Buffalo 28-1, Toronto 40-1. The Sabres are by numbers as close to the Leafs as they are to the Senators. Okay. I mean, did this year even happen?
Right.
Like, I don't know. As a fan like yourself, I might just be a little bit too close to the sun. Like, try to, but I just objectively struggle to understand it. Do they need a star? Do they need something? Whether that's for the odds or just for the team, what is it that they're supposed to do? Nah. Well, I mean, keep asking. Wade is next. Hello.
Hello. Oh, well, regarding the Sabres odds, is it not just as simple as analytically and statistically they overperformed? I mean, you had a, I don't know the analyst's name, but you had him on a couple few times, and over he's saying, you know, they're scoring a lot of goals and not a lot of shots. The goaltending overperformed, as we see, as they had the worst goaltending in the playoffs. And then Ottawa, just their goaltending was horrible. So,
yep. Mm-hmm. Maybe that might be as good a guess as any.
Yeah, Greg Wyshynski, I think you're thinking of, who made the first time he was on, once they got good, he was sort of, I don't want to be this guy, but, and then that softened a little, but it was always kind of still there, that they were on a PDO heater, basically.
Which is shooting percentage plus save percentage.
Right.
So if you're over 100, you're, you know, not everybody likes to put it this way, but you're lucky. Because there's a lot of luck in those stats. And the Sabres were fourth in the league. They were the fourth luckiest team by that. 5-on-5,
mm-hmm.
if you want to call it that. The least lucky team by the same metric was New Jersey. And that's a team above them in the cup odds. I don't know. Maybe. I didn't think it was that dramatic. For me, and I'm somebody that looks at that every year, even when the Sabres are not in it, which is most years, I want to see, just maybe simply for betting purposes or for the pool that I run, like, just, all right, well, it was Washington. Was it last year even? Washington, where, like, I don't see this going well mm-hmm. in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And maybe they won a round, but then went out. Like, they just, it's usually a pretty good track record.
They did, and I bet against them going, even winning a round.
Okay.
I mean, because of what you're saying. I saw that's not a good team. All year I thought that's not a good team.
Those teams tend to be A, bad playoff bets, and B, their coach wins the Jack Adams Award.
Mm-hmm.
Because the right. You know, the benevolent hockey broadcasters don't understand somehow.
Yep.
This element. I mean, Greg did.
I think it's really hard. Like the problem with the PDO heater theory to me is that I have a hard time settling for 5 or 6 months is a heater. You know, like I think at some point you just sort of stop waiting for that to drop out and go, okay, they shoot, they're more selective in their shots. Therefore, they're not getting as many shots. Therefore, their shooting percentage is higher because they're good. They're talented. They're beating the goalie when they have those selected shots. And to me, like that doesn't. It can be fluky, but I don't think this is where we could run into, like you said. How'd you say it? We're too close to the sun? Like maybe we just aren't objectively seeing it. But I just I have a hard time believing, oh, it was, you know, like the 10-game win streak in November back in 18 or whatever that was. Like, it was fluky, it was overtimes, it was shootouts, there was, and even as it was happening, we were loving the excitement, but also like, I don't know, this is going to be sticky, and it turned out, of course, it wasn't, and we all know that now. This was like, okay, December, January, yeah, February, it just kept going, and I'm just, maybe it's an all-time heater, the heater to end all heaters. I think it is probably that they were good, but maybe there is skepticism about it because of, you know, that notion that, you know, they had the goalies performed above their head, the playoffs sort of right-sized that, and when it did, they went out. I don't know. That's a little flimsy to me.
They don't seem to respect that Zach Benson led the NHL in postseason penalty minutes.
Right.
They don't seem to care about that. They don't seem to prioritize that. Who was the only Sabre to shoot 100% in the playoffs?
I happen to have the playoff stats page open, but no, I'm not. I only see the top six names, and there's no way somebody on that.
Nope.
That high. So
one shot on goal, one goal.
I'm trying very hard not to. Well, so who scored that was not? I don't know.
You'll get it if I give you the time. You'll get it. You'll think of it.
Yeah. Just tell me.
Metsa.
Oh, okay. Right.
Game six in Montreal.
Sure, right.
For 8-3.
Yes.
Right. One shot, one goal. Again, he's over here going, I mean, I could have helped you.
Right. Right.
I only score literally every shot I take.
Yep.
Just, you know, maybe next year you'll why don't you think of that next time?
Yeah.
Well, the odds, again, we've said it, are just a way into the conversation about their roster, whether you want to use them or not. How do they move forward and become a team that wouldn't be 13th in the odds after being whatever they were in points? What were they in points? I mean, top five, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
109 points.
Yeah.
So there is some sort of a disconnect. They were fourth in points.
Okay.
Colorado, Carolina, Dallas, Buffalo. Fourth in points, 13th in the odds, with mostly, if not entirely, the same roster. Maybe you mentioned goaltending a couple times. So did the caller. He said worst goaltending in the playoffs. Is that actually literally true?
Goal saved above expected took a hit. In the playoffs for them. I don't know where they ended up, you know, and what metric he's even referring to, but I think they did not hold up to the standing that they had during the regular season.
I mean, it's way up there, if not number one, on the list of interesting aspects of this offseason and what they want to do. Because they have three goalies under contract. And the question is always for me, how do they think it went? Did it go well enough? It's one thing to say, it's easy to say yes in terms of the season overall.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, fourth in the league in points. How could you complain about anything, really? But now we're talking about winning the Stanley Cup,
right,
and their odds and the chances of doing that in a very tough, historically tough division. They might not think that they are good enough there.
It's one thing to say it was a strength of theirs this year. The numbers tell you that during the regular season. But yeah, do they talk themselves into a, well, yeah, that was great, but you know, we're trying to do something better than just have a great regular season and be second and 10th or whatever they were, Lyon and Lucan, respectively, in goals saved above expected or whatever. The thing you're maybe going to be confronted with right away is that you just watched Carolina win the cup with basically Colton Ellis. I mean, Bussy is older, which maybe even in a way makes him more of a long shot to ever get the shot he got, but he got in there, and it wasn't just that he got in the playoffs. I mean, he led them in wins during the regular season, which nobody saw coming, but injuries happened, and they had a guy step in and got hot, and even with that, it took them until injury. That was performance and then injury, I guess, right? I mean, Anderson got pulled. Bussey took over and never came out. And then it later was revealed that Anderson was ailing. So I don't know which came first. Doesn't matter. He got in. And so if I'm the Sabres, and I don't know, even Vegas, I mean, Carter Hart has pedigree. He was a first-round pick and was, you know, thought to be a kind of a phenom. And then, of course, his career had been sidetracked. But he jumps in and, you know, rides them all, you know, or they ride him all the way to the final. So I don't know. Do I need, like, these playoffs, I don't think, tell you need Connor Hellebuck on your team.
This is always the question.
You know, you could think you need to be better than what you had, but really it was just a different guy that's at the level your guys are at or below even, and it works. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know where they're going to come down on it, because to me, Kekalainen could want to just swing really big. I don't know. For anything.
It might be his style.
Yeah.
To do so.
And it might even be his style that, like, you know, well, I want to do this. Okay, I can't do that. I want to do this. All right, I can't do that. And maybe goalie is like third or fourth on the list, but one and two crap out. Maybe you get to, well, all right, you know, let's package up some stuff and get a 34-year-old $10 million goalie in here and see what happens. I mean, I'm making it sound pretty willy-nilly here, but I could see them getting there, even with it being a strength. You know, the overall on the year, goaltending made a positive difference for them.
Are their guys movable? Easily movable? Is Lukanen movable?
I think Lyon
is movable.
Very movable.
Me too.
He played above his level, and he's getting paid, you know, peanuts. So to me, that's easy if you wanted to do that. Lukanen, I don't know. Lukanen is some version of, all right, our $5 million guy didn't work. Let's try a different $5 million guy.
Yeah.
And that happens in the league. Change of scenery, whatever. We'll support him better. I don't know. So the contract isn't unreasonable, I don't think. Lyons is desirable, I would say.
I agree. Thank you, Torts. You know, that first segment when I ran wild, I could have included that. I was ready to make fun of thank you, Torts. It's just incredible to be like, people's jobs on social media are to come up with the graphic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have the thing where like people wish their spouses happy birthday on Facebook. Like, why don't you just tell her? You just want to tell everybody else that you said happy birthday
to
your wife?
You want the credit for being thoughtful.
I just like, is that the best course of action? Is that the best way to get it? Like, come on. Thank you, Torts. And then the release about his being released, it's just like only Torts. Maybe Tortorella first reference. Hmm. But the quote from the GM is just Torts, 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 Torts.
Yeah.
Let's be grown-ups. Thank you, Torts. Okay. Why don't they want him back?
Did they work the word frictionless in there?
I couldn't look at it long enough.
They don't want him back because they got a guy in the AHL that the GM is known for years, and they even played for him in junior high. Whatever. They got a guy. They got a guy that's sort of in waiting.
They'll thank him eventually.
Right.
For his service.
Until they fire him with seven games to go in the regular season.
Yes.
And go find Jacques Lemaire or something.
And they ban him from ever coaching again.
Right.
After doing that. Thank you. Thank you, Tom, whatever his name is. I don't even know. 803-0550 is our number. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR.
I guess what I would say after the whole thing and kind of going back and rewatching and going over my notes is that they're probably more talented than I gave them credit for. And now I think the roster is even better than it was. Now the schedule will be more difficult. They're no longer, you know, the sort of team that's flying under the radar. They're going to be the hunted team. And I think there'll be a little bit of a course correction. I think it's a playoff team. And as you know, you get in the playoffs, and who knows what can happen.
Mike Giardi, our recent guest from the Boston Sports Journal. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Thanks for listening. We have Jeremy Kahn out of Baltimore scheduled for tomorrow. I think probably Sal will be on tomorrow. Thursday, we have Matt Larkin from the World of Hockey.
Daily Faceoff is his outlet now. Yeah.
And Matthew Collar also will join us on Thursday.
And Brian intermittently here.
Brian tomorrow.
It's U.S. Open week, right? So I got to make my picks. I assume we're talking to Brian at 6 tomorrow for that?
6 tomorrow.
And then usually we'll talk to him on a Thursday or a Friday when a major's going on. So
you know where they're playing the Open?
Shinnecock.
Wrong. New York Golf Course.
Oh, yeah, I see what you did
for there. This week, it's called New York Golf Course.
Yeah. These hydration breaks are all the rage here in the World Cup soccer. That golf course needed hydration breaks the last time the U.S. Open was played there. They were watering, I don't remember what green, maybe you do, 7 green. I just remember there was a green that was getting watered in between groups because it had become just unplayable through the weekend.
Yeah, I love that when I'm playing golf.
Yeah.
Unplayable greens. I need it to be harder. Right. I need golf to be harder.
Right.
It's too easy. John is with us. Hello, John.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good, John. Thanks for calling.
Yes. I had a couple. I'm kind of interested in your opinion. I've been watching your show for quite a while. I don't usually call in. But one thing, maybe I'm just a pessimistic one here, but is it being pessimistic to think that this great relationship between Brady and Allen is going to be the difference this year? Allen's not really been the problem, right? And now you bring in a new defensive coordinator who's trying to use players that were drafted for a different system. And this is supposed to, and then we look at the brutal schedule that we have. I don't really see where the Bills are going to be. I really don't see them going better than 11 and 6, maybe 10 and 7. So I just was curious about your opinion of that. And also, when you guys talk about GMs and making decisions, do you feel that sports radio, the way we have call-in shows now that we never used to have in the past, or at least over the last 15 years or whatever, that affects GMs' decision-making? I mean, if they're going to make a decision, say, on Alex Tuck, at some level, they've got to have in the back of their mind, man, if I don't get this right, you know, it's going to be, I'm going to have to listen to this for years. So I was just curious. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
I love that question. I could go all day on that question. Yeah,
I'll take a – well, you love it so much, you take a first crack at it. I mean, I have something that I doubt will change what I'm going to say.
I have always said – I think of Darcy Regier first for this. I've always said that, no, these general managers should not decide things based on the fans. And I'm going to take the caller talking about, like, talk shows or hosts as the fans. I think that's really what it is. No, it shouldn't come down to pleasing the fans, but I think you should always want to know what they're saying. And Regier, like a lot of people in that job, I think, want to tell you that they don't listen, that they don't pay attention to that. And I can see why, because it can be pretty harsh. I mean, very. But I still think in that job, you should have some feel for which way the wind is blowing with the fan base. And by the way, that's not always evident through our show. I mean, we might not get another call today. We might talk about Alex Tuck for an hour, but nobody necessarily will call in to discuss it. And so how much of a sample size are we working with
right. In
the first place when I'm the GM trying to decide what to do? Think about Brandon Bean and receivers. You know, he had heard a lot of that and it got to him that day. Anyway, I think it's not like fans should do the job for you. I'm pretty sure that almost never happens, but I think it's important. It should be considered important. If I owned the team, I'd want to make sure my managers knew what it sounded like out here.
Yeah, I've always agreed with that. That, like, you have an idea what your customers are saying. You can dismiss it because, well, you're doing the job and you've got your decisions to make and your reasons for doing it, and you have to believe in that, and you shouldn't, I think, turn your back on what you think is right and what your team of people are telling you is right based on what a call-in show or a host sounds like. Here's an example of why it's can be very bad to do. Remember last summer? Like, I even made a spectacle of Kevin Adams talking about Samuelson in such a way that like he was offended by the trade rumors, and like he did not seem to realize that the fan base had really soured on this player. And if he had known, or maybe he did know and just didn't care or what, but if he had reacted to that and moved him, bought him out, like I never said like buy him out, but I was done counting on him as being any kind of an important piece for this hockey team, which would have been extremely bad. Like if Adams had reacted to what the fan base sounded like about Matias Samuelsson, Sabres would be out a $4.5 million hockey player who's playing like a $10 million hockey player for like the next 4 years. So you got to be very careful. I think so. That's why you can't, not to say that the fans or me or you are always going to be wrong about things like that. There's a case where I was, and the GM just ignored it, and they're way better off for it. So I don't think anyone worth their salt in that kind of job would react to what a host is saying. The front of that call, if we're good on that subject, the front of the call, like the Allen Brady relationship is not going to improve this team. The defense eventually, I think, will improve this team. I'm not looking at Joe Brady to get more out of Josh Allen. I'd like Josh Allen. I don't think I need Joe Brady to do this. He's had opportunities in a lot of these playoff games to come through at the end and hasn't. So that at some point hopefully will change, but I don't think it will have anything to do with Joe Brady. I guess it could. I mean, he's the new coach. He'll get credit if it changes, I guess, which is fine. I'm not going to throw myself in front of that bus. But I think the bigger question for this team, to me, is how quickly that defense can even be at a middle of the league level with the new schemes, new personnel. Does the personnel all fit? All that kind of thing. Like, I'm sort of bracing for it's not going to sink their season, I don't think, but I'm bracing for, well, we really didn't have our guys. Because I think that's going to be sitting there all year. And it makes sense. I mean, it takes time to get exactly the kind of personnel with maybe some different traits than the guys you inherited.
I got into this a little bit yesterday, just trying to articulate what it is the Bills need to be better at, because I think we've been through so many, these playoff losses are so close. And is it one thing? I mean, we can't even necessarily agree on whether it's more the offense or the defense in these games that's more to blame. So that's tough, because I think I need one play. A few of these losses have been one thing, whether that's 13 seconds or the play to Kincaid where Kansas City came up with a blitz that the Bills didn't know what to do with. Then you have, you know, last year and all the little things that could have changed that outcome with Denver. So it sounds like a cop-out almost, but what I need this year is for that to be different. And that's not one thing. That's just sort of an execution point, offense or defense, when it comes down to the end. And that's where I think Brady can be a positive difference maker after years of watching McDermott's teams not be able to pull it off, is if Brady can... I mean, this is not a given. He was on the staff already, of course, but if he can come up with, all right, here, a version of what Spagnuolo did as their defensive coordinator, Kansas City. I mean, it doesn't have to be that he's the head coach for this, and so maybe I shouldn't give it too much credit, but just like, all right, we're in this position again. It's the divisional round. It's the AFC Championship. There's 2 minutes to go here.
I got a thing they're not going to see coming.
That's right. And again, well, he could have done that before, but that's what I'm hoping ends up being the story with the Bills. Because even if they do win only 11 games, like the caller suggested, or even 10, probably they're in the playoffs. And then you got to do that.
Right.
Whatever that is, you've got to do that to make the story end differently than it has. Man, anybody want a piece of that second question? I don't know. Like I love talking about that. Not like it's not ego. It's not like us. It's just more all of us, the fan base.
Yep.
You know, who was I talking to about something similar to this just recently? I got to think about it. It got to Marshawn Lynch. We ended up talking about Marshawn Lynch, and like, well, pressure built from the outside.
Yep.
Negatively toward Marshawn Lynch. Now he's America's dad. But hey, at that time,
right. It
wasn't pretty around here. And I know somebody with the Bills blamed us for the fact that they ended up trading him. But, you know, we didn't trade him. They did. I don't know. There is some place for that kind of thinking that the caller asked about, that, you know, fans can get loud and think, and that can matter. 803-0550 if you want to join us. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR.